Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and praise the Lord. You are tuning in to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'm so excited that you are able to join in for our 1,472nd episode. I am your host, Arthaeus, coming to you live in the great city of Florence, South Carolina. Welcome to the platform of One Touch Transformation, where our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. So we are here to let you know that healing is available, and we're also here to encourage you and empower you, to let you know that whatever has happened to you in the past, whatever has been done to you, whatever traumatic experience you may have experienced, you do not have to remain in that state. You do not have to become a product of what happened to you, because healing is available. There is so much that God can do in your life to change the course of your life, because he's just that amazing. He's wonderful, and he's all-powerful. And the reason why that I can say that is because he has done that for me. I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and I kept silent for 20 long years. And so when I finally made the decision to share my story, it was also the first step in walking into my healing. Has it been easy? No, of course not. But God has strengthened me along the way. He has shown me how powerful I really am, or how powerful the voice is, and how powerful it is in sharing the story. Because every time you share your story, you are constantly regaining your power. You are showing others how healing can change your life, and how it can open the doors to so many other things. And there is someone who is waiting to hear your story. Someone needs to hear your story. And you don't have to share it on a large platform. It doesn't take, you know, going on a stage or whatever, or this huge auditorium. But no, there is one person that God, or at least one person that God has assigned, that needs to hear your story. And whatever your story is, maybe you're not a survivor of sexual abuse. Maybe you're a survivor of some other things. Everyone has gone through something. And we can all, you know, give a testimony of like how the things that we've gone through, they could have taken us out. Because there are so many things that people have experienced, and they're in some of the worst states ever. But we serve a God who can change all of that. And he has changed that maybe in your life. I know he's changed in my life. And so with One Touch Transformation, not only do we raise awareness about sexual abuse, but we also like to focus on the possibility of healing, or, you know, the importance of healing, because there is healing on the other side. But it has to be a decision that you make. It's an individual thing, of course, because as much as I want everyone to experience, you know, healing and true freedom, each individual has to want it for themselves. So I can't make you take that step. I can't make you make that decision. But it has to be a decision that only you can make, in whatever it is that you are trying to overcome. But I do want to let you know that, you know, healing is possible. Deliverance is possible. And so is true freedom. God said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I want you to live a life of abundance, a life of freedom. But we cannot do it until we make that decision to heal and to, you know, share your story, talk about it. You don't have to feel like you're alone in this, because you're not. You're not the only one that it has happened to. It has happened to so many people, and there are still so many silent survivors, so many people who have not been able to share their story. And maybe you're listening to me right now and you're like, okay, you're talking to me. I can't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. And if you're feeling that way, it is okay, because no one can judge how you feel about sharing your story. When it's time, you will. And you maybe wonder, well, how do I know when it's time? How will I know when it's time to share my story? How do I know when to say something? You will. There is no, I can't pinpoint it, and you can't pinpoint it either, but it will come, and it will come at the right time. And when it does, you're going to feel so much better. It's like a weight being lifted off your shoulders. And so I encourage anyone who may be listening that may be a survivor, like, if you are ready to share your story, you know, there are phone there are phone numbers out there. You have the sexual assault hotline, and there's also websites that you can visit, and I'll be more than happy to give that out to you. And so one particular website that I really love that's a great resource for survivors and supporters, and even if you're just trying to get information on sexual assault, is RAINN.org. That's RAINN.org. So that's RAINN.org. And what's so cool about that website is that if you don't want to talk on the phone with anyone, you can actually chat with someone. So if you're not comfortable, you know, actually getting those words out of your mouth, you can chat with someone and they will give you some support. If you're looking for the nearest rape crisis center, you can also put in your zip code and it will bring up the closest rape crisis centers in your area. So again, that website is RAINN.org. If you would like to talk with someone over the phone, the sexual assault hotline is 1-800-4673. That's 1-800-656-4673. And I'll be sure to give those resources out before the show ends, just in case you need it or in case someone that you know may need it. And sometimes it's just a good idea to even post it on your social media because you never know who is on your timeline who needs to talk to someone or who is seeking help. And these are two ways that we can help by, you know, posting the phone number or posting the website. All right, so again, thank you for joining in for another episode. I am your host, Arthenius, with One Touch Transformation, which is my nonprofit organization, as I was saying earlier. We're educating the community about it. Sexual abuse is going on. It has been going on. It's a vicious cycle in a lot of generations, in a lot of families, I should say, a cycle that continues because no one wants to talk about it. But we cannot be afraid to talk about it. We have to break the cycle. We have to break the generational curses. We have to have the conversation, make people aware of it. And even through our education and through the awareness and through the conversations, we also need to make sure we talk about the healing side because we don't want people to just remain in the state that they're in. Of course, we want you to get help, seek counseling, seek therapy, because that's part of the healing process. And even if you are a Christian, like I'm a Christian, been raised in a very, 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 you know, faith-based family, went to church, have been going to church all my life, but guess what? I still went through therapy. So some people, you know, they shun against it. Some people may feel like they don't need it, and that's okay. It's all up to the individual. But if you need someone to talk to, please do so. Please do so. Because it begins to affect your entire life. It affects everyone who you interact with, directly or indirectly. So it is important to make sure that you do seek help. All righty. So let's go ahead and get started because I have some good news to share. And it blessed me even while I was studying this. So I pray and I hope that it blesses you as well. Okay, let me pull up my notes. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about three words, and we all start with W. So we're going to talk about walking, worrying, and wavering. So walking, worrying, and wavering. So sometimes it is possible, it is very much possible, to do all three at the same time. And hopefully the first group of people that should come to mind are the children of Israel while they were wandering, another W word, in the wilderness. So walking, worrying, wavering while wandering in the wilderness. So quite naturally, like I said, the first group of people that should come to mind are the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And so before I even dive into it, I want you to take like a self-evaluation and think about the times that you may have been, you know, on your journey, whatever the journey may be. And so normally whenever you're on a journey, you know, we're walking or driving, but just to keep the whole make it sound like you keep it on the same track as far as the children walking. We'll keep ours on the same thing. So when we're on a journey, we know that life is a journey, and so we're walking on this journey. And if we were to take a self-evaluation, how many times have we begun to worry, or how many times have we worried while walking on our journey? How many times have we begun to waver on our journey? And so as I'm going through these scriptures, I want you to think about yourself, which we should every time we read a story or read the word. We should also always try to apply it to our lives. All right, so we're going to start with Exodus chapter 12 and begin at verse 29. That is Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. And it reads, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle." Verse 30 says, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants, and all of the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, there was not one dead, where there was not one dead." And the 31st verse says, "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said." All right, so this was the very last plague from when the Israelites were in Egypt in captivity. And after Moses had been begging Pharaoh to let God's people go, he finally, it took all of this happening, it took Pharaoh losing his firstborn son in order for him to finally say, you know what, just go. I mean, he didn't even wait until the next day. He said he rose up by night and said, rise up and just get out. So here in these last passages, we see this last plague has taken place, death of the firstborn. This was the final straw that caused Pharaoh to release Israel. And so in the 31st verse, Pharaoh basically said, you know, be gone, get out of here, get from around here. You know, he's like, I don't want anything to do with you because look what your God has done. So he said, go serve your God. And if we continue in the 32nd verse, he even says, take your flocks and your herds, as he has said, and be gone. Just take everything, get out of here. Get out of here. Your God has killed my firstborn son. So I don't want anything to do with you. Just go. So Moses and Aaron led them out, and this is also where the Feast of Unleavened Bread is set up, and they begin their journey into the wilderness. All right, so now we're going to go into Exodus chapter 13 and begin at verse 20. It says, "And they took their journey from Sukkoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So how amazing is it to have God who leads the way, no matter where you are? Here we see the children of Israel, they are going into the wilderness. I mean, how are we supposed to know which way we're going? We're walking in the woods, basically. We're walking in the woods and have no idea where we're going. We have a God who is leading us by day and at night. I mean, have you ever been out in the woods at night? You cannot see a thing. There are no street lights, no poles, nothing. And so you're telling me that God is just that amazing that he has this fire and that's leading the way so we can see. I went camping a long time ago. This is when I was still in high school, actually. Went out into the mountains and camped. And no lights at night. You cannot see anything. If you don't have a campfire going, no flashlights, you cannot see anything. I mean, you may see the moon and the stars, and that's it. But you're talking about trying to walk a path? No, it doesn't work like that. And so we have this amazing God who's making this way for the children of Israel, you know, at nighttime. I mean, it's one thing to see in the daytime because we have this bright sun and it's light outside, but at night, cannot see a thing. But God, he showed up for them during the day and at night to lead the way for them, because that's just how amazing he is. I mean, like, first, you just allowed us to escape from Egypt. That's the first miracle. And here you are leading the way, because we have no idea where we're going. We've been in Egypt all that long time. And so for us to say, okay, you can go. Where are we going? Okay, Jesus, where do you want me to go? So God's leading the way. So there have been times, even when we think about ourselves, because remember I said I want you to take a self-evaluation about your journey. So there have been times that we may not have known how we would see our way through, or whatever the wilderness may have been in your life. There have been times when we may not have known, like, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to, you know, get through this situation? How am I going to overcome this obstacle? Even as a survivor, when I first decided that I was going to say something or share my story, you know, while I was going through that whole healing process or the beginning of it, I had so many questions like, okay, when is this going to be over? Like, when am I not going to feel like this anymore? Like, I don't know if I made the best decision or not. I don't know if I should have said anything. All of those questions and all of those thoughts came in my head. Like, was I supposed to do that, God? Like, was it really time for me to say something? So whatever your wilderness may have been, maybe you was not sure. Maybe you were not sure how you were going to come out. But somehow, God led the way, and you follow. God has ways of working things that are beyond our measure and beyond our thinking. We don't see him working, yet he is. And that's why in his word it says that his ways, well, his plans are not our plans, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But his ways are not our ways either. He knows the way. He knows what he's doing for us. But all we have to do, we have to follow his lead. He's leading the way. He's making the way. He's paving the way. But we have to follow his lead. So if we backtrack, we can remember how much Israel went through while in Egypt. You know, the struggle, the pain, brutal punishment, and to finally have their prayers answered, to be delivered, was a miracle. You know, after they had suffered for so long, gone through so much, they finally were delivered. So after Pharaoh released them, God spoke to Moses, and he let him know, like, look, Pharaoh is soon going to have a change of heart, and he's going to attempt to capture you. But we see that they're being led into the wilderness. And so God is telling Moses, like, okay, be aware, but, you know, don't be afraid. I'm not sure if he told me this for them to be fearful, but he was just letting them know, like, look, Pharaoh's going to come after you all because y'all are heading into the wilderness. So he told him that he's going to harden his heart, which he did. So Pharaoh, he did send the Egyptians to pursue after Israel, and as they got closer, they began to fear and to cry out to God. They started complaining to Moses. Moses, do you see what's happening? Do you see Pharaoh's army after us? Now you just had us delivered. You just had us led out of Egypt, and we're into the wilderness, and we don't have anywhere to go, and now we have Pharaoh's army coming after us. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? But you know what? Moses, he remained calm. And he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And this is the moment where the Red Sea is parted for Israel to cross through on dry land while the Egyptians died upon the seashore. So the Israelites, they probably was wondering, like, Moses, why are you so calm? I mean, but for them to witness so much that God had done for them, even, you know, prior coming into the wilderness, they had just witnessed God send those 10 plagues. And with the last one being the death of the firstborn, and for Pharaoh to say, you know, be gone, they had just witnessed all of that. And for them to become so fearful, it was like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Why are we out here? They're coming. What are we going to do? But Moses, he just come and say, you know what? Don't be afraid. Just be still and watch God work, basically. Just stand still. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. You don't have to be afraid. Calm down. Calm down. God is going to work this out. And not only did they witness the 10 plagues, but they witnessed him leading the way already. The cloud by day and the fire by night. That was God working already. He worked immediately after they came out of Egypt. And so for them to be up in such an uproar, it's like, what did you just witness? Didn't you just? And if we're honest, sometimes we are guilty of doing the same thing. God, he can do so much for us, but as soon as something else happens or as soon as something else comes up, it's like, oh, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do now? How am I going to overcome this obstacle? How am I going to get through this? And God is probably looking down at us like, I can't believe my child just asked me this. Didn't I just do X, Y, Z? And sometimes some of the things that we go through, you know, not to say that we should weigh everything that we go through, because I know for everyone it's different. Every situation is different. But sometimes I know for me, I can talk about myself personally, it may be something so minor compared to some other experiences. And so sometimes I have to, you know, I have to knock some sense and think like, look, why am I even worrying about this? Why am I doing this? Didn't God do X, Y, Z? And sometimes we don't even have to think back years. Like, there are some things that God has done or some ways that he has made maybe a few weeks ago. And it's like the moment something, you know, it catches us off guard. And we're like, oh, God, how am I going to get through this? And we're doing exactly or reacting the same way that the children of Israel did. But here is the moment where they get to witness something so miraculous, something so spectacular. You know, just think about it. How would you have reacted had you seen the bodies of water rise up to the side? Like, I probably would have fell out. I mean, if we see this today, I'm like, I'd be so amazed, for one. I don't even know how they even walk through. I would have been the one just looking from side to side, just amazed at the water being able to just hold, you know, on its side. So Exodus 14 and 31, it says, "If Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." So after that, it's like, okay, we are sold on you guys. We're going to follow you, Moses. We're going to serve God, and we're going to follow Moses because he is truly a servant of God. You are a true servant. We've seen him bring us through Egypt. We've seen him, you know, him lead us a cloud by day, fire by night, and now we have witnessed him parting the Red Sea, and we walked across on dry land. How can we not fear God? How can we not serve you? So, yeah, we're sold. we're sold out for you, God, yes. And how many times, again, we're still taking you, so evaluation, how many times have we, you know, been just so sold out for God when he has made ways for us? Like, okay, God, I've seen you work, so I'm sold out for you for real, you know? I am on fire for you. I know that you can do the impossible. Yes, I am devoted to you. I'm yours. I'm your servant, you know? So we have these moments in our lives when God does make way, when he does provide, when he proves himself to us, we become sold out, you know? But what happens? What happens on our journey? What happens as we continue to walk on our journey? So Israel, I noticed that they went through a set of, I guess you can call it parts of the wilderness. And so they started off, you know, leaving Egypt, and they went into the edge. It uses the phrase, the edge of the wilderness. And that's when he parted the Red Sea. Next, they went into the wilderness of Shur. Following, they went into the wilderness of Sin. And then, if, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, they went into Rephidim and the desert of Sinai. All right, so when they went into, when they left the edge of the wilderness where he parted the Red Sea, they're heading into the wilderness of Shur. So let's go to Numbers chapter, I want to make sure, before I go there. So let's go back to the wilderness of Shur. So like I said, they left the edge of the wilderness. That's where he parted the Red Sea. So in the wilderness of Shur, they end up complaining again. So remember, they started complaining to Moses when they got to the Red Sea. And that was before it was parted. So they started complaining to Moses and saying, the Egyptians, they're behind us. You just brought us out into the wilderness to die. So now, as they're in the wilderness of Shur, they start complaining again. And the reason they start complaining is because they are thirsty. All right, so after they just said that they were just, you know, they were sold out for God, like, God, you're my Savior, I'm sold out for you. I've seen what you've done, so, you know, sold out all the way. But as soon as they get to the next phase or the next place, they start complaining. So what happened? What happened to what, you know, everything they just witnessed? Again, self-evaluation. Do we find ourselves doing this after God has done so much for us? And we hit a bump in the road, and we start complaining. Oh, well, I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't know how I'm going to get this. But we see that in the wilderness of Shur, they're thirsty. They're complaining to Moses. And guess what God does? Exactly what we know he could and can do today. He was a provider. He provided water. 12 wells of water, and then gave him some shade. I think he said it was 70 palm trees. So he became a provider in a shelter. And because they have been walking for so many days, well, yeah, ultimately, been walking for so many days, and I'm pretty sure they were hot because they're in a desert. And in a desert, don't find any trees. So, or water. So you mean to tell me, same God rescued us from Egypt, who got us across the Red Sea on dry land, the same God just gave us some water and some shade in the desert? Come on. We're continuing to witness miracle after miracle, but yet we still find ourselves complaining. But guess what? It doesn't even stop there. It doesn't even stop there. So next, they head into the wilderness of Sin. Now they're hungry. oh, Moses, you brought us into this wilderness to starve. First, we don't have anything to drink. Now we don't have anything to eat. Complaining, complaining, complaining. And after this, they done said we sold out for God. And here we are complaining again. I just gave y'all water and shade. Do you think I'm going to allow you to lack some food? No. We know God doesn't even roll like that. A guy who parted a Red Sea, come on, he's going to give you everything that you need. So here he provides manna and meat from good old quail. God, and I mean, he keeps doing it time after time after time after time. And even today, God, he continues to do that for us. He makes ways for us. And I think if we just actually think about every time or every moment or every way that God has made in our life, we wouldn't complain as much. Because quite naturally, as humans and even as believers, sometimes we complain. Just being honest. I mean, if you never complain, then, if you say so. But even as believers, the things that we go through, it catches us off guard. And sometimes we don't think about the things that God has already done. Sometimes that's not always the first thing you think about. First thing we think about, may I say why, or not again, or how I'm going to get over this or get through this, how I'm going to overcome this, how is God going to provide? You know, we have those questions. We have those thoughts in our head the same way that, you know, the children of Israel were thinking. And so what we have to do, we have to make sure that we don't fall into the same category or continue to keep that mindset as those children of Israel did, because it's going to cost us in the long run. So we're still talking about walking, worrying, and wavering. And I'm going to, you know, talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But walking, worrying, and wavering. And our children of Israel, they are the prime example. Walking in the wilderness. Worrying every time something comes up. They worried when they got to the Red Sea. They worried when they didn't have anything to drink. And they worried when they didn't have anything to eat. And so all of that worrying causes you to waver. And when I'm talking about wavering, I'm talking about our faith in God can begin to waver whenever you worry. Because worrying, you know, it makes God think, okay, so you don't think I can provide? Or you don't think I can pull you through this or get you through this? Why are you worrying after I have demonstrated my works? After I have brought you through so many other things, why are you worrying? And trust me, it's easy to worry. I'd be lying because I said I never worried. But we cannot allow our worrying to make our faith waver when it comes to God, because it can cost you in the long run. Well, I'm going to say, that's the children of Israel, or that particular group, that particular generation, those generations who were wandering in the wilderness. It cost them. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. All right, just gonna pause for a second, just in case we have any new listeners that have just came on the line or logged on. You're listening to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arsenius, with One Touch Transformation, and we are talking about walking, worrying, and wavering. Sometimes, and even as believers, sometimes while we're walking on this journey, we may come across some roadblocks or hit a pothole or whatever the case may be, and it may cause us to worry. Even though we have witnessed God performing miracles in our lives, sometimes we still worry. And if we worry too much, it will cause our faith to waver. And if we allow that to happen, it can cost us in the end. And so we're now at Numbers chapter 14. We're going to read verse 22 and 23. And it says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. There you go. This is why it's important that we don't worry and cause our faith to waver. Because, you know, right here, God was fed up. Moses was definitely fed up with them. And so I'm quite sure God was fed up. Like, look, you've seen my glory. You've seen the miracles that I performed. You saw what I did for you in Egypt. You saw what I did for you in the wilderness. But yes, you still complain. You still worried about what I could or could not do. Didn't hearken to my voice. You didn't listen. You didn't pay attention. You said you were sold out for me, but you really weren't. Because if you were really sold out, you would not have been complaining and worrying and causing your faith to waver. And so because you did that, you shall not see the land which I promised unto your father. I told him that I was going to rescue you and send you to the land flowing with milk and honey, but because you failed not to trust me fully, like fully trust me, you won't see it. The 29th verse of that same 14th chapter, it said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. In other words, you're going to die in this wilderness. And all of that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which has murmured against me. Everyone 20 and up, you're going to die in the wilderness because you continue to complain. Yeah, that's it. I have spoken. I demonstrated time after time, but yet you still murmured. So you know what? You're not going in the promised land. You're not going because you didn't take me at my word. You didn't trust me like you said you did. So, hey, you're not going in. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, for the Lord thy God has blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through his great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Provided for you every single time. It's like having a king as a father, living in a palace, never have to want for anything. Always have everything that you need. Of course, there are some desires and there are some, you know, personal wants. But as far as your needs, it's always met. When you have, you know, a king as a father, you don't lack for anything. And that's how it was with the children of Israel. And that's how it is for us today. Get everything we want. No, but do we have everything we need? Yes. And sometimes we have to look at it that way. We're not going to have everything we want. And maybe sometimes it's for the best. God knows our heart. He knows our ways. He knows what we need. He knows what we don't need to have. And so sometimes he chooses not to give us everything that we want. But he does give us everything that we need, the essentials of life. And if we were to really to study the ways of the children of Israel that were wandering in the wilderness, and, you know, and learn not to follow their example, not to murmur and complain, to worry, then our faith wouldn't waver. I know things happen, things that we cannot control, whether it be health issues, whether it be financial issues, mental and emotional issues. There are some things that we cannot control, but then there are some things that we can control. But for the things that we cannot control, sometimes we may find ourselves worrying, wondering how we'll get through that obstacle or through that pothole. Sometimes it happens. We're all human. I understand. We are all human. The flesh is always going to war with the spirit. In those times, in those moments, when we find ourselves worrying, we have to reflect on God's word. We have to be careful that our faith does not waver. Because when our faith wavers, that's when we begin to walk in circles, as the children did, how they wandered. Why? Because they were worrying and their faith was wavering. But God called them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So we have to be careful that we're not just wandering on our walk. We have to be careful that we're not worrying to the point where it causes our faith to waver. And we know that Hebrews 11:1, it tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we find ourselves worrying about the same situations or in the same cycle, we find ourselves walking in circles or wandering in our wilderness, then we need to check our faith. Not only to check our faith, but just really think about the things that God has already done for us. We have to check our faith. We're walking and believing 1 minute and then worrying and our faith wavers the next minute. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed back and forth, back and forth. Believing 1 minute, worrying the next. Believing the next moment, worrying the next. And like I said, I understand that we are all human. So sometimes our mind will cause us to worry, but I don't want you to continue in worriation. If you can catch yourself before you begin to waver, or before your faith begins to waver. And so tonight, even as we get prepared for our call to salvation, I want you to take a self-evaluation. Check your faith. Have you been worrying too much where it has caused your faith to waver? Have you been worrying too much that it has caused your faith to waver? And sometimes we may get to that point where you've been believing God and asking him to do certain things, to move certain things, to move some of these mountains that are in your way, to provide for you, to heal you. And I know we have to be patient with some things, and God only moves on his own time. But do not allow that to cause your faith to waver. So I want you to really dig deep as we make this prayer and just kind of check your faith and just see where you are. This is between you and God. You don't have to tell anyone. This is between you and God. And I'm going to pray with you tonight. Maybe you're one who is just struggling with your faith. I don't know what has happened in the past. I don't know what has happened recently, and maybe you are struggling right now for your faith in God, period. Maybe you just need to, I guess, start over, and maybe you just want to know God for yourself. You hear faith, you hear people talk about faith, you hear people talk about God, and maybe you just don't know where to begin, and you want to start your own relationship with God. Tonight can be the night that you can do this. Make this night your night to start fresh, to start new. He tells us all we have to do is come to him. We repent. He will forgive. If you can believe that he sent his son Jesus to die for you and I, for all our sins, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but we can have everlasting life. And so it can begin right now. All it takes you is believing in him, believing that he sent his son for you, repenting, because God, he will forget, and he's willing to forgive and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, all of our sins, all of our wrongdoing. God said that we can begin new. We can start fresh. He's giving you a clean slate, whatever you have done, whether you are starting new for the first time or maybe you're restarting again. Maybe you need to, you know, just renew your relationship with God. You can do that right now too. And we're going to pray. And we're going to believe by faith that God is going to work tonight. He's going to work in your life. He's going to work in all of our lives. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Thank you for just who you are and all that you have done. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die for all of our sins. Thank you for cleansing us. Father, we thank you for how you just allow us to start fresh despite all of our wrongdoing, despite every sin that we've committed, every evil thought, every wrong deed. God, we thank you for your forgiveness, and we repent of every last one of them so that we may start fresh. God, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. God, cleanse us and wash us and make us white as snow. Purify us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that you remove everything that's not like you and replace it with the Spirit, with your Holy Spirit, so that it may lead us and guide us from day to day as we make decisions through the people that we interact with. Oh, God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for just being almighty and all-powerful, so awesome. Thank you for the ways that you have made, and help us to remember those ways that you have made. Help us to remember the times that you have provided. God, increase our faith in you. Increase our faith. God, where we are lacking, where we're struggling, God, we ask that you strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice, God, I ask that you increase their faith. God, we know times may come where we begin to worry, but God, help us not to worry where it causes us to waver in our faith. Because, God, we don't want to be lost. We don't want to be lost. But, God, help us to trust in you and not lean on our own understanding. God, we believe it by faith. We believe that those who are seeking healing are healed. Those who are seeking salvation will obtain it tonight. Those who are seeking a new relationship with you will obtain it tonight. We thank you and we praise you in advance, for you are worthy of all praise. God, we thank you. We thank you. And we'll forever give your name all the praise. It is in your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. All right, so looks like we have a caller. We're going to get the announcements first, or however, Pastor, you want to do it, and you can bring the caller on, or if you want to do that first.
The Lord, we're going to bring the caller in first. So, caller, you're
okay.
On the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, hello. How you doing, Miss Arsenius Jackson?
I'm fine. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. This is Michelle Hines. I didn't get the first beginning of the show because when I called, they said y'all wasn't airing. But I happened to go on Instagram and I see and I jumped right on.
Okay.
But, yes, yes, I'm feeling all of this. Yesterday, I was in Walmart. I went to Walmart in the rain. So as soon as I got to the register to put money on my card, everything shut down. So they told everybody that they had to, like, exit the store. I'm like, I'm not going out in the rain. So I'm like, OMG. Like, I need some food for my – I had food, but it wasn't what the kids wanted. So I'm like, oh, God, I kept calling, like, all the markets that was nearby. Like, the whole Aramingo was shut down. So I called the ShopRite that was closer to me. That day was open. So I went over there. You know, I got what I needed to get done. But when you say faith, I did not stop. I kept going. Even though it was raining and everything when I left, I still continued. I was a little frustrated, but I didn't stop. I kept going because I know what I needed to do. And I kept my faith in God. I'm like, okay, maybe it's not meant for me to be here at Walmart. And I went to ShopRite, and I got better stuff, fresher stuff, even though Walmart is my favorite store.
Right.
I didn't stop. I just kept pressing forward. I'm like, I'm not giving up. So my faith is getting stronger because I was one of those ones that, you know, I let fear almost paralyze me. And, you know, I'm just thankful for where I'm at, where I'm growing into now. You know, it's still challenges, but I just fight it every day. And I'm just glad because I used to just be like, you know what, I'm tired, I'm done. Now I just fight, like, like I'm ready. I got my boxing gloves on.
I know that's right. I know that's right. I love it.
It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not. It's not. It's very frustrating. But, you know, at the end of it, it's a miracle behind it all. You know,
absolutely.
And a lot of good things been happening for me. Like, normally me and my landlord have issues when he come. Today, he was just so pleasant and nice. And I always pray before he come in his house. I do. Because I'm like, no, we going to have words. And he was so pleasant and nice.
Look at God.
I see how God works. And I didn't even pray this time. God just knew. He just knew. So, you know, I feel like my faith is getting stronger, you know. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that because, you know, I don't know where I would be. I'm just grateful and thankful. Thankful for you guys. Thankful for, you know, everybody that's helping me on my journey. You know, like I said, it's a little frustrating, but gotta keep pushing.
That's right. I appreciate that. That actually made me happy. Gave me a little bit more joy. So I appreciate
that. Thank you.
All right, Pastor, you can go ahead and give us our announcements for Purpose Team Network.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Walking, worrying, and weaving. I just bless God for you, Minister Arsenius. I bless God for the word that came forth from you this evening. I thank God for Sister Michelle Hines, one of our faithful listeners and followers here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We want to invite you by faith, those who we believe gave their life to Christ this evening, those of you who decided that they were going to begin walking in Christ, stop worrying about this world and stop weaving in and out of the road of righteousness. We want you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Until you do, that's why God has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting the Daughters of Ruth and its host, Reverend Maureen Lee, at 9 p.m. here at Purpose Kingdom Network on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on Instagram. On Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to talk with you, and to pray with you. Also, we invite you to follow us on our website, www.pknradio.com. That's www.pknradio.com. That's right. You have heard us correctly. We have transformed. God has blessed us with a radio station where we are able to broadcast the love of Christ, the hope of Christ, and the saving knowledge of Christ through gospel music 24 hours a day. And you will also be able at 8 p.m. to hear a rebroadcast of One Touch Transformation. So join us tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. on pknradio.com and at 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. Minister Arsenius, wonderful word this evening, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Thank you for those announcements. I just want to take this moment and thank all of our online listeners that are on and listening, and everyone who called in. Thank you for tuning in. And just to get those resources out of here before we sign off, remember that helpline is 1-800-656-4673, and that's the sexual assault hotline. And the online resource is brain.org, RAINN.org. And so I hope that everything that segment is blessed you. For more information about One Touch, so follow us both on Facebook and Twitter. You'll find us on Facebook. And so just a few words just to close it out. Just keep in mind that doubt will cause you to lose out because you evil, they got left out from something because of your memory and because of your vision faith. They're not gonna cross over and get promised land. So doubt, it will cause you to lose out. And not just even just there's a lot of things. And we had a testimony coming from Sarah. Fear often causes to lose out on a lot of things. So don't doubt that. And don't doubt that. It's going to cause you to lose that question. So what do we do when we find ourselves walking, worrying, and laboring? Reflect on what God has already done for you personally. You can read about the miracles and hear about them from others. But think about what God has already done. Think about
know it was only God. Proverbs 2 and 5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and not in our own strength. We need to post it, do this, that, put it on the wall, on the mirror, wherever you see it every day, and walk by faith and not by sight. So again, keep all those things in mind, and I pray that you enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you for tuning in again. I'm your host, Arsenio Jackson, One Touch Transformation. I hope you have a wonderful night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.